every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Central. Join us for The Enlightened Perspective, a warm, friendly, one-of-a-kind look at the paranormal, dreams, supernatural disturbances, and everyday life problems examined from a unique spiritual perspective. Dr. Mitchell Gibson is a board-certified medical doctor who has been listed under the best psychics in America and the best medical doctors in America. Kathy Gibson is a former college All-American athlete and business executive who's developed a unique world-class gift for intuition and clairvoyant vision. The Enlightened Perspective is a heartwarming one-hour journey into the unknown. Their specialties include out-of-body travel, dreams, sexual disturbances, interaction with the gods, miracles, and the human soul. Join us and get the answers you've always been looking for. Well, good evening. This is Mitch and Kathy with the Jackalope Radio Hour, and we're back again.
Hello.
Hello. We're happy to be back doing the show, and we really look forward to everybody. It's kind of an unusual format. We tape every Thursday for an hour, and during the hour you can call in, but you won't be able to actually hear the show until Tuesday, which is their prime time hour. So for all of our listeners, we're going to post on Facebook that you can call us at the show at the number that we listed. And tonight we're going to have kind of an open discussion. Our clients don't get to talk to us very much. And so tonight we're going to have an open mic night where you can just talk about anything you like. And during this hour, we're going to try to open it up. Last time we wanted to talk about, what was it, the causes of evil? We never kind of got around to that, did we?
We never did.
We have had just a busy week, and we say that every week, but this one really has been busy. We had a lady that came in from Riverside, California, very nice lady.
Very nice.
Really nice talking with her. We had a lady that came to visit us from Saskatchewan, Canada. She did one of our intensives. She did one of our weekend seminars, and then we spent the day with us. So she got the full Mitch and Kathy treatment.
She got the full Monty.
The full Monty, both barrels and the Glock. So we're just really happy that people have been spending time with us, and we're really happy that so many folks have been able to find us. And it's just something that we have been really wanting to do for a very long time. It's been fantastic to be able to work with people and to have so many people support us. And we just want to say thank you to everybody. And my wife and my son, we all now work together in the family business. And it's really something that's coming along well together.
Well, we have another mini seminar coming up on April 19th. It's going to be on the Attunements to Higher Consciousness. And we're looking forward to having that on that Saturday from 1 to 4. We just completed one week ago, and it was very well received, and we had a great time with the group that came. We also are starting our Darshan back up again, and we'll have our first one on April 5th. This coming up next Saturday, and we're looking forward to being able to share that divine energy with everyone who comes in. We can take a maximum of 30 people, and we really enjoy when we can sit there and try and still ourselves for a two-hour period. We get so caught up in going as fast as we can every day of the week, and we very rarely take the time to still ourselves and just sit in silence and be at one with our consciousness and with the Creator. So we are looking forward to starting our Darshan season back up again. Last year, we ran into a situation where we just overdid it, and we were doing darshans, and we were doing workshops, and we were having people in the office. Dr. Gibbs was doing consultations, and we kind of ran ourselves ragged. And then we decided that we were going to kind of cut back just a little bit this year. Let's give them some of the reasons for the evil, the greatest causes of evil in this world, because we never did get to that part of the show last week.
And 850 was Florida, so we're watching you, Florida and South Central Pennsylvania. Thank you for calling in. Well, we were going to do a show on the causes of evil, and before we get into that, all of our shows are now going to be taped and edited and placed on iTunes. And so we're doing it this way because the shows can be edited and cleaned up and we're going to have pristine recordings for iTunes every week. When you call us now, you won't be able to hear the show on Jackalope. What you hear now is a recording of something else, but we are actually recording while that other show is in the background. So we're going to go ahead and go with the format that we have right now and just go ahead and run with it, because that's what we do.
That's what we do. We adjust quickly.
Well, we're going to talk about the causes of evil and exactly what evil is. Well, when you look at the word evil and you look at the causes of what that word is, let's just first of all examine a good definition for what evil is. People will know that you can call us, even though you can't hear the show. You can call us in at this number, and you can join the discussion every time that we're on, but you can't actually hear the discussion. Our number is 310-928-6665, and that's going to be the number until I get something different. That's going to be the number that you can call us at, but we're going to go ahead and run with it this time, and hopefully we'll get used to it and not mess it up too much. This whole thing is evil incarnate. We just have to exercise it and get it right the next time. Let's talk about the concept of evil. Evil is chaos incarnate. When we look at life that's around us, we look at things that go well, we look at things that go smoothly, and then we look at the concept of chaos. And chaos is something that affects the lives of all of us. Right now, we're in the middle of a chaotic stream. Most of our clients and most of our followers have never been able to listen, go on a radio show and have us be there and not be able to hear us. The show itself is not, in many cases, what they're used to. So they're facing some chaos right now at this moment that we're not used to. Chaos, when it becomes sustained and affects a person or a family or a business or a country, can cause some dire consequences. Chaos can lead to war. War is, in many cases, considered to be the ultimate chaos. It is also something that when a person or when a country faces it, it takes years, in many cases, to overcome the effects of that war. Chaos is sustained, or evil is sustained chaos. Looks like we have a caller. Caller from the 870 area code. I don't know where that is, but let's go ahead and take it. Caller, you are now with Kathy Gibson. What is up?
Okay, this is Richard. How you doing, Dr. Gibson?
How are you, sir? Thank you for bearing with us. We're recording the show. You can call in and be part of it, but you won't be able to actually hear it until Tuesday. So we're going to have to get everybody used to that format. We're getting used to it, too, but hey, we're running with it.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I have been interested in talking to you about the importance and even the idea of the construction of altars. And so I kind of like to, you know, get your thoughts about, you know, what's the proper way to build one, and then what are some of the unique advantages of having an altar versus not having an altar?
Well, Richard, when you're talking about building an altar, and you're talking about an altar set up for not only deities, the creator, but also for your ancestors, it is important to first find a room or a space that's not going to be heavily traveled in your home. It cannot be set up in a bedroom. That is not permitted. But it can be a place where, say if you have a spare bedroom or an office or something that's not going to be traveled very much by other people, that you can find that space. And in that space, you're going to start off with some type of table or something that's going to have the food that you're going to present on the altar lifted up off the ground. An altar cannot be on the ground. You can't have food on the ground. It has to be lifted up at least to the knees, your knees, if you're standing up, or higher, where you can set the food down so that you're not picking up the negative energy that could be on the ground underneath the altar. So you want to make sure that you have either a metal table or a wooden table or something, some kind of shelf that you have as a space where you're going to build your altar. Second thing you want to do is you want to have what we call an altar ancestor book. And in this book, you're going to have a book that has nothing but blank pages, but you can add names of your ancestors who have passed. You can add names of your ancestors who are still alive. You also should include yourself as well as your family members in this book, because the offering that you're going to be making is going to be used, not only the energy from that by your ancestors who passed away, and I'll tell you in a second how that helps them, but it will also help you in your own personal life, which is something that most people forget to do. They might build an altar and they're taking care of everybody except for themselves. So make sure that you put yourself and your family and your children on your altar. Now, most altars, if you want to put flowers on there, that's fine. And if you want to put a secondary offering, which is what we do, is we'll have a secondary offering of either squash or some large vegetables that don't spoil very quickly. And you can have that there on the altar at all times, so that if you're unable to be there, if you go out of town or you're not going to be home till very late, then there's always some type of source of food on that altar for the ancestors and the deities to take the energy from. Also, we encourage that you have a small plate of food, nothing too elaborate unless you can afford an elaborate plate. But whatever you're happening to eat that evening, you want to make sure that you make a small saucer and put a little bit of that food on that plate and present it to the altar. And that way your ancestors and the deities will have not only the primary offering of food, they also have the secondary offering of food. And also, if there's an ancestor who had some vices while they were here, and you feel like you have a connection with that ancestor, then if that vice happened to be smoking, or if that vice happened to be that they like to drink, then sometimes if you feel encouraged to put it on there, you can put a pack of cigarettes, or you can put like a bottle of wine, or put a glass of wine on your altar for that ancestor. And what you're doing is you're building a link between this world and the spiritual world. And in this link, you are giving them energy that they desperately need, because when we pass this plane and we go into the afterlife, we still have needs in the afterlife. We still need food. We still need clothes. We still need homes to live in. We still need the same things we need in the third dimension. We need it also in the second dimension. So you want to make sure that you're adding these things as far as food, flowers, vice, things that they might need. And also, very important, is there's something called ancestor money. If you're on eBay, it's called Hell Notes. But this ancestor money, if you burn a little bit of that money every day, then you're going to be sending them the kind of currency that they need in the spiritual world. It's all energy, and that energy is used for them to be able to pay for the things in the other world. And when you're taking care of your ancestors, trust me, they will take care of you in this plane. So it's very, very important to construct it in a place that's not going to be heavily traveled in your home. You want to make sure that your altar is off the ground. You want to make sure that you have a secondary and a primary offering, and you also want to burn a little spiritual money. And if you can do that, then I can tell you that your life will change.
One of the things that I have discovered is that I sense that my ancestors communicate to me their need, or maybe something is going on. Say I haven't been as diligent as doing the spirit money. I've had dreams that kind of give me the indication when I got through, or when I awakened, that was my ancestors trying to say to me, okay, I need a little something. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Does that mean that how they can communicate back to you? I mean, I've had dreams and stuff whereby people who are ancestors that I normally am not close to, or were not close to, but I've had a dream about them. And then sometimes it's been about, you know, my mother and other people who I have, and I kind of got a sense that maybe they're telling me that they need something. Is that a correct interpretation or indication that I'm having a connection with them in some kind of way?
That's right. Our ancestors, for the most part, if they passed on, they don't have a physical body. And the only way that they can get a message to us that is something they can communicate easily is to talk to us through dreams. Sometimes they can communicate with us through signs or sometimes telepathically, but we tend not to trust those. With dreams, we remember those. And so when we get those type of connections, those communications, we listen to them because we recognize that that's the only way they can reach us. So that's one of the ways that you have to be aware and be diligent that they're saying hello. My mother passed away in 2008, but I see her regularly. It's been 6 years since she passed now, but I see her regularly in the dream state. Not as much in the last year or so, but when they go into the dream, into the next world, dreams are how they communicate with us.
Okay? All right. Thank you, Dr. Gibson. Ms. Gibson.
309 area code, I believe. You're up.
This is Crystal, Dr. Gibson from Peoria. I have no questions. I'm just listening.
Crystal doesn't have any questions. I don't believe it.
Let's just say I'm holding them back. I'm holding them back.
Facebook up. I said, that's Crystal. I know she got 50,000 questions.
I'm just trying to reserve. I'm trying to learn and observe. So
Crystal, on here now. Go ahead and use it, girl.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about my orange candle flame. Is there a significance in color? I get a real deep orange a lot. And I can tell that it's very active. I don't know if they're excited about the food or they're communicating, but it gets a real deep orange.
Probably they're communicating. The candle and dreams are the main ways that our ancestors and the gods can communicate with us. So if you see a change in the flame, sometimes people send us pictures in. They see faces in the flame. They see images. They can even see images moving in the flame of other places. And
I've seen that too, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the way that they send this information across dimensions. Flames have the ability to carry information. Humans have used fire and flames to communicate for thousands of years, and they take advantage of the flames' ability to communicate information. That's what you're seeing.
Okay, because the one being was moving her head and trying to talk to me, but it was like a silent movie. I had no idea what she was saying.
Yeah,
see her moving.
Some people have an easier time communicating than others, but it really depends on the person.
Okay.
Well, Crystal, you've got two questions in. I'll give you one more and then we'll stop.
One more. Today, the last few days, there's been a hot energy next to me on my left side. I don't know if it's certain beings or the solar body. It's getting real hot and the energy around me has been really interesting.
Okay, probably an attaching spirit or somebody trying to attach to you. Good time to do a cleansing, good time to use spirit attachment removal, but don't let that entity attach. I'm not sure that it's a good entity.
Okay.
We got another call. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, stay around. We got a call from 17.
Oh, hello?
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Gibson?
Hi.
Hi, oh my gosh, I finally got in. I just didn't think I was going to be able to. I'm very honored to be in your presence, and thank you, and you and your wife. And I'm calling because I had this dream like 10 years ago, and nobody's been able to help me with it. And it started with I was playing a video game of the ancient empire game of Egypt, and I played it religiously for 2 weeks. And one night I had this dream. I was walking down the center of a residential area, and this house was calling me. It was like pulling me. It had this gravitational pull. So I walked in the house, and it still was pulling me. It still was calling me. And so I went down into the basement, and I walked down the stairs, and when I turned, it was this humongous face, and it was like the top of the head reached from the top of the ceiling to the bottom of the floor, and it was long as it was wide. And as soon as I turned, the eyes opened, and this indigo electric light hit my body. And I mean, it penetrated me and it was electrifying. And, you know, and then I woke up because I was scared. And at the time I was a Christian. I didn't understand. I like, now I study psychology and I'm trying to be like you. I'm going for, you know, my master's in psychology. And so now I understand different realms, but I need help to clarify what that was. I'm sorry. My name is Nani Shisha Ray.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas. Okay. We did a seminar a few years ago in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, I wasn't here. And I always move around. And I was in California and then you came to Las Vegas right when I moved back out here. I've always missed you.
Well, hopefully next time. We're going to be in New Orleans soon. So no, when we go to New Orleans.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be there very soon.
Okay.
Well, you saw a head that was as large as maybe 10 feet tall?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Was it a human head?
It looked like it. It was jet black, and it seemed like a human head.
But humans don't come as with 10-foot tall heads, do they?
No, they don't.
And humans don't shoot laser beams out of their eyes.
No, they don't.
So you're dealing with something that doesn't really fit what we would call, quote unquote, human.
Right.
So what do you think you were dealing with?
All kinds of things have came to my mind. But since then, I've had amazing experiences. I've been able to do things that only, you know, people write about in movies, you know, but I don't know.
I think you do know. If it's not human, what is it? Have you ever had any experiences with UFOs or anything like that?
Yes, I have. I have, and I don't really like talking about it because, you know, people don't believe me. I went to go pick up my husband one time when I lived in Texas, this was a couple of years back, and I was driving, and there's a part of this area where, you know, it's not really developed, and it's like for about 5 minutes you drive through it, but I had something follow me, and I was pregnant at the time, and as soon as I realized it was following me, I knew exactly what it was. And then it left me. And I felt like it left me because it was not supposed to bother me. And I don't know. And I guess I do know. I just want you to confirm it for me.
Well, I'm confirming it for you. And you knew that, you knew what it was. You just wanted me to say what it was.
Yeah. Would you? Okay.
You do know that I'm
okay.
You do know that I'm psychic, right?
Excuse me?
You do know that I'm psychic, right?
Yes.
So what you were seeing, you can go ahead and confirm that you were dealing with an alien. Oftentimes when aliens interact with us, they will take a construct of something that we're familiar with, and they will place that construct as a cover memory inside of us. So we'll think we're in a familiar house, we'll think we're at school, we'll think we're with friends, and then all of a sudden something will happen in the memory or in the vision or in the dream that is just out of place. It can be an insect will show up, it could be a 10-foot tall head will show up, it could be you're looking in outer space, and you can pretty much assume from that experience that you're dealing with an alien encounter. And the fact that you've had them follow you, the fact that you've seen them, the fact that you dreamt about them and ain't telling nobody, means that you're in contact with an alien race that one of them appeared to you as a 10-foot tall head. The energy they put in you through that laser beam is in part related to some of the abilities that you're now experiencing. They're, for lack of a better word, they're upgrading you.
Yeah.
You don't have to think you're crazy. We're not crazy.
Oh, I know I'm not. Go ahead.
I went through the same experience with aliens. I blocked out a lot of memories for a lot of decades until I began to realize that a lot of what I was dreaming about was recurrent, and it was happening in something that, in spaces of my life that I had totally, there were blank spaces. I totally blanked out. I would go into the woods as a child and sleep for 3 or 4 hours in the forest. What child does that? But I realized that it was at that time that aliens were interfacing with me. And they were, in their interface, they were changing me for the better. Now, in our society, it's not like talking about aliens abducting you and interacting with you and making you better. But in actuality, that's what's happening. That's what's going on. So we really appreciate you calling us, and keep listening. Thank you so much. This show is going to air this coming Tuesday, and thank you for calling in, and you are now on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We have another call from 336. That's local. What is up? You are now on the air with Mitch and Kathy Gibson. What is up?
Good afternoon, Dr. Gibson and Mrs. Gibson. How are you?
Good. How are you?
And who is this?
This is Lynn from Greensboro.
Lynn from Greensboro. How are you, Lynn? The pastry lady.
I am doing well. Just one quick question. You know, in our as we grow and learn, sometimes we get stuck. You know, you just kind of get stuck in the mud, and I understand that we are both a physical being and a spiritual being. So do we go to the psychiatrist, or do we start to meditate? Do we do both, or do we, you know, ask the universe for a sign and she sends you to the psychiatrist?
Well, what is it that you're stuck in?
Well, it's just, you know, it's time to move forward. It's time to get on with the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. How's the champ doing, by the way?
The champ is doing fine.
Lynn, you said that you're wanting to get to the good stuff. Are you talking about... Moving forward in life because you're stuck and you need something more, or are you seeking something specific?
Well, I'm seeking something more. I think that I don't think I've been holding myself back, but I have not been accelerating like I should be. I think that maybe I've been lazy, either spiritually in my practices or physically, just, you know, perhaps the thinking processes are, you know, I've been lazy with my thought patterns. So just, you know, just looking for a hedge towards the good stuff or, you know, better experiences or higher experiences, or, you know, just, you know, trying to pop it up a notch.
Well, what kind of practices are you currently doing?
Well, I'm doing my 30-minute meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I have my altar is constructed. I've got certain elements on the altar, water, candles, food for my ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm moving in that direction, I think. But, you know, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's something more that I should be doing.
Well, it sounds like you need to have... some type of connection with the Creator. What is your connection with God?
I know that she's always there, that I am always connected to her. I can't step out of her grace or her energy.
But do you interact with her?
I do talk to her throughout the day. Not constantly, but just the conversation.
When you're doing your meditation, is it a silent meditation, or what are you thinking when you're doing your meditation?
Well, when I'm doing my meditation, I am appreciating my altar and the elements that are on there, and just trying to share and love them and appreciate them.
Are you doing any type of volunteer work?
I am not.
Well, it seems like you're looking for some type of purpose to make all the things that you're doing make more sense to you. It's lacking a sense of connection. You're doing your meditation. You're talking with God throughout the day, and you have set up your altars, and you're doing the things you need to do to keep the relationship with you and your ancestors great. But you don't seem to have a sense of purpose.
Perhaps when I go to meditate, I will ask for directions or instructions or something or other.
I would suggest that you would go into meditation. I would get a white candle, and I would make sure that the room's dark and you're just looking at the flame of the candle. And while you're looking at that flame, that you pose that question: is I need a sense of purpose. I need to find a connection that's going to make me feel like I'm moving forward in my life, and see what they bring back to you. I'm sure you'll get some type of vision or something in your dream that will tell you what you should be doing. But a lot of times, if you do some type of volunteer work, it seems to bring some sense of purpose into your life if you haven't found something specific that you would like to do.
I will take that to my altar and wait for instructions.
Excellent.
Also, I might suggest an element of the supernatural would be helpful for you, because right now your spiritual practice is way too mental. You're thinking okay. Through your connection with God. And God goes way beyond thinking. So I might suggest that you go to our YouTube page and look up the Words of Power video. Words of Power video. The Words of Power are supernatural words that can connect you to the dimension that is beyond this dimension, a dimension where miracles happen on a regular basis. And people all over the world have had fantastic results with the Words of Power. And I would suggest that you look at the words and follow the process of the Words of Power, using the Words of Power in the video, and add that at least into a 10-minute meditation every day. Because you need a supernatural element to your spiritual practice. If your practice is too mental, you're going to get more thoughts coming out at you from your own practice. In other words, you're going to get your thoughts interacting with other thoughts. And that's not a spiritual practice. That's an intellectual practice. Nothing wrong with the intellect, but God is more than our thoughts. And we want to get you past that. Words of Power are one way to get you past that. You will start to have experiences that come essentially from the other side, and you need some of that. You need the supernatural to meet you at your door and wake up with you in the morning.
As long as it does it gently, right?
Well, I would ask you, I would suggest to you that you let the supernatural make that decision. Sometimes the best way for us to be pushed forward in our spiritual path, which is I think what you're really looking for, is to let the supernatural meet you at the door and then ask itself in. Because then you get past your thoughts and you get past your own mind. And then you get into another world. Which is something I would really like you to experience. Just a suggestion.
Sounds like a plan.
Just a suggestion.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. From the Food Lion, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for calling in, Lynn.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for your advice.
And, you know, her comments and her statements about how you extend spirituality are really something we see from a lot of people. A lot of people, they've been meditating, they've been praying, they've been going to church, they've been reading the Bible. But for a lot of people, they see their relationship with God, they see spirituality as almost like another course that you would take in college or a course that you would take in Sunday school. They see God as like a teacher in the universe. But I think it's important that they see God as something, someone that is a person you can relate to, of course, in the mind, but he's so much more than that. There's a whole realm out there, the supernatural, that we've been taught to be afraid of, because first thing she said, here, but it is much more than that. Okay, like we said, the whole spiritual practice is something that a lot of people take a little bit too intellectually. And 606, maybe we'll get back to you when you call us again.
Hello?
Hi, Dr. Gibson.
This is the radio show.
Oh, my God. This is Tiombe calling from Chicago.
Okay.
I just want a general reading. Hi, Cassie. How are you, everyone?
Good, Tiambe. How are you?
Good. I was really surprised I got through. All I did was dial the number. It was like it went right through. That's wonderful. So I hadn't heard anything. I don't know what the topic is today. I don't.
Open mic night. We're taking questions, but we're not doing readings.
Okay. Well, Kathy, remember I sent you a message about this dream that I had. I don't see anything changing in my life, though, but I had two dreams that I died. And the first dream, it was like I was on the highway and this truck was coming towards me. But as it was coming, it was this force just pulled me out the back seat of my car. It just pulled me back. It was like a suction just pulled me through the back seat of my car, and I woke up. And then like a week later, I had this dream that I woke up and I said to myself, I died. I was in this dark place. It was dark, pitch dark, and I died. And I said to myself, I'm in the wrong place. First I said I died, then I said I was in the wrong place, and then I ended up going into another part of the dream. So do you have any idea what that could have possibly meant?
Well, Kathy did share those dreams with me, and I can say that two things are most likely happening. One is you're experiencing out-of-body travel while you're dreaming. And so when you travel out of your body, it feels like you're dying, because you're moving from one dimension to another, and you're moving in a body that is different than your physical body. And also we move through wormholes. That feeling of being pulled and that feeling of odd movement, that's what we remember as from the experience of being in wormholes, which is how we travel from one place to another in a dream. So you are experiencing a heightened sense of astral travel that is kind of like what happens after a person dies. But you're traveling in your astral form. That doesn't mean you're dying.
It doesn't mean that I'm dying.
It doesn't mean that you're dying. It means that your consciousness is expanding.
That's wonderful to hear.
The other
thing, because I feel like
as your consciousness expands, your soul is growing. So your ego is threatened by consciousness expansion and soul growth. Its best defense against you is to make you afraid of the process. And the thing that we're most afraid of is death. So it's telling you that if you keep growing and expanding, you're going to die. But that's nothing could be further from the truth.
So my consciousness is trying to keep my subconscious mind from coming through, or from activating, or from tapping into the source of who I am.
That's right. That's a very good analogy. Absolutely.
I get that. Thank you so much. I get that.
That's just your subconscious trying to scare you out of growing.
Exactly. So that's why my conscience is trying to make me feel like I'm blocked, like there's nothing coming through. But physically, or in this human physical body, you don't really see the spiritual growth, because it's behind the human experience, if I'm saying that right. It's within the subconscious that the experience is actually taking place, but I may not be able to recognize it in the human form. Does that make sense?
It does. So keep doing whatever practices you're doing, whatever meditations you're doing. They are working, and you are growing. Congratulations.
Dr. Gibson, I really haven't been doing much of anything but listening to my atonement. My atonement that I bought, I've been pretty much listening to that, and wearing my medallions. Other than that, I haven't been doing any meditation, prayers, any of it. It's pretty much listening to the atonement.
The atonements are a big deal. So you're not doing nothing. Atonements are some of the most advanced sound recordings ever made. And there are 13 of them, rather. And they're advancing your consciousness exactly what they're supposed to do. You're experiencing the growth that the attunements give you when you listen to them regularly. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, sir. And thank you, too, Cassie.
Thank you so much for calling in.
and keep listening. Thank you so much. Wearing your medallion. You're doing more work than you realize.
Thank you so much. Much love to you both.
Okay. Well, like we were saying, a lot of times when people do work, spiritual work, they get afraid of the work that they're doing. And when you start to get results, that's when the fear really kicks up.
We had an interesting call earlier with the young lady who had the experience with the alien. And I think many people who have looked at our website and the upcoming events page and saw the Nephilim Codex workshop that we're going to be doing in New York on May 17th. And they aren't real clear what that means, the Nephilim Codex. Maybe we can give them a better description of what that seminar is going to be all about.
Well, that person had an interesting call in that she kind of knew that she'd had an experience with another race, an alien race, but she wanted to see if we could pick that up and confirm to her or reaffirm to her what she already knew for herself to be true. And we gave out some terms that some people may be aware of, a lot of you may not be aware of. And since this is our first weekly show, you with the Enlightened Perspective with Mitch and Kathy Gibson, we're on recording every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 to 7 Central. And we talk about topics like this. On the Enlightened Perspective, our discussions go from the occult to the supernatural to the politics to money to relationships to sex. We cover it all. But we like to look at it with eyes open, professional eyes. We're both professionally trained. We're both college educated. We work with people from all over the world. And this particular caller had a call about being on a UFO, and she was given a cover memory that seemed like a dream. A cover memory is a memory that allows a person to experience something that is familiar to them, but at the same time experience something that is supernatural. So in a cover memory, you may be on an alien spaceship, but dreaming that you're in a house that you grew up in. And the way that you know it's a cover memory, you can be walking around in the house, talking to people you know, and all of a sudden, something will happen in the dream that is just totally out of character for the scene that you're in. You could see a 10-foot-tall head walk into the room, like this last caller did. And that 10-foot-tall head is not a head. It is an alien covering itself to make it look like something you wouldn't freak out about. And then the caller talked about laser beams coming out of the alien's eyes. Well, those laser beams is information that the being is translating to the caller. And that cover memory was something that she knew was contact with another race. But it's the kind of thing that happens, we believe, to millions of people. And they're just too afraid to be able to talk about it on a regular basis.
That's true. I know for myself, whenever I'm abducted, they place a repeater dream. And inside the dream, I'll be lucid in the dream, and I'll find myself looking at the circumstances of the dream, and then it'll repeat itself. And as soon as it repeats, I know that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I know that I'm somewhere on some ship, and they're doing something. They're distracting me so that I can't see what's happening. I know that they are upgrading me, but I also know that they don't want me to see what they're doing because I would probably freak out. So it happens to a lot of people. They'll put that cover dream there for you for a reason. That's because if we woke up on a ship on a cold table, naked, and we see some different looking beings and doing things to us, we would probably freak out. So they do that for a reason.
And Kathy mentioned a show, actually a seminar we have coming up on May 17th. It's going to be at the Sheraton LaGuardia East in New York. It's one of our favorite venues. And so it's something that we really look forward to doing. And it's coming up on May 17th from 8:30 to 4 o'clock. We still have seats available. And that seminar is going to look at the phenomenon that we think is just worldwide that is really being hushed up and covered up way too much. Millions of people have experiences of being on spaceships, having dreams and visions about interacting with other races, and they just keep them to themselves. Most research says that between 2 and 3% of the entire world's population experiences UFOs every year. Well, if you look at 7.5 billion people, that's hundreds of millions of people every year. not everybody is hallucinating. Not everybody is crazy. And in the Nephilim Codex workshop, we're going to look at the signs that you are going through a real experience with other races. We're also going to look at information that you can use from your experience to expand yourself spiritually and psychically. These other races, some of them are, many of them are benign races. They just want to help us. And so it's important to recognize when you're in the experience, what a real experience is versus a dream versus a vision, and how to use the cues from those experiences to really help you grow spiritually. We're Mitch and Kathy Gibson. We're on a show called The Enlightened Perspective. It is our weekly show. We're on every week from 7 to 8 p.m. on Tuesdays. And we record every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we have a section where people can call in and ask us questions about anything. And this week, we're having what we call open mic night, where you get to call in and just talk about anything that we're doing. But we really look forward to talking with people about our different topics. We have a center here in High Point, North Carolina that we've been in for a number of years. We have a weekly Darshan meeting where people can come with and meditate with us and talk with us and talk about the experiences that they have. We also have something that we really like doing called the Spiritual Intensive.
The Spiritual Intensives takes three different topics, and you can sign up for one of the three, but we go into such great detail for just three people maximum that we can have in the center at that time to go over the divine spell work and the ways that you can help yourself with prosperity and ways to help your family. We have a spiritual healing course that we have for three people. All the intensives will only take three people at a time. If it's one or two people, we'll still have the intensive. But we go into a lot more detail than we do in most of our workshops. And it's a very intimate setting. And it's something that we really enjoy doing because we get a chance to really get to know those people who are with us. And that's one of the best things that we do. So if you can, join us for the Enlightened Perspective every Tuesday at 6 to 7 Central, or 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We look forward to you calling in.
And one thing that we really enjoy doing, and then we'll wrap up for this week, we have the most advanced aura equipment in the world. We have Copen aura equipment. We also have InnerVision aura equipment. We can see spirits in your aura. We can see alien implants in your aura. We can see how big your chakras are. We can see what color your aura is. We can see the different delineations of spiritual development in your aura. And we can also see something called clairvoyant feedback, where we can place different spiritual objects in your hand and have you do certain mantras and see how your aura responds in real time. We also have 3D aura equipment, so we can see 360 degrees around your entire aura. So we're going to be back with you next week. We have a great show planned for you. We're going to be talking about money and the roots of chaos with money, if we can get to that. But we're going to be recording next Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time and from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a call-in number. That's 310-928-6665. That's 310-928-6665. And we really appreciate everybody bearing with us. We're going to get this format down. We're going to run with it, and we're going to knock it out of the park. And thank you so much for bearing with us. And we will be back with you 1 week from now, but this show will air on Tuesday next week. And thank you for joining The Enlightened Perspective with Mitch and Kathy Gibson.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
This segment is brought to you by Tibro, the world's leader in protective medallions, healing sounds, and spiritual tools. Prayer, miracles, and enlightenment often travel together. Miracles are used by higher beings as a way of communicating with us. To get their attention, you need the right spiritual tools. At Tibro, we've created a large variety of spiritual tools. Take a look at our products. They may just change your life. www.tybro.com